Greetings, warriors, veterans, and America-loving citizens from sea to shining sea. Welcome to Front Lines of Freedom. Hoo-wah, I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. As I'm sure you've noticed, we now have a different president. President Trump has really inherited a mess. The Biden-Harris administration did all they could to make it as impossible as possible for him to achieve the goals that he stated and which got him elected, the goals that we the people want accomplished. I know it's really going to take him a long time to work through this mess they inherited. We need to stand with our president during this very difficult time, and we need to keep him and his team in prayer. Okay, joining me at the 50 caliber microphone is Marine vet Skip Coriel. I was born and raised in California, but I don't plan to visit there anytime soon. Do you have any plans to go to California, Skip?
Well, no, I could move to California, but they have a housing shortage there now. Everything burns down, or there's mudslides, or, you know, whatever. And I don't like the politics there.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought you Marines liked living in tents.
Well, yes, but not cardboard boxes.
Okay. Okay, then you're excused. Okay, here's what we have for you today. On News and Comments by the Colonel, I'm going to discuss the mess that is our military that Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth is going to have to fix. Then Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby will contribute his warrant wisdom. Steve Gorham is the Executive Director of the Climate Science Coalition. He'll discuss energy. Colonel Steve Kenyon will discuss supporting Israel. Gold Star Dad George Lutz will discuss Honor and Remember. And Diane Raver will present the movie of the month.
Hey, troops, please invite your friends to join us at this time on this great radio station. Then head on out to frontlinesoffreedom.com and sign up for our free e-newsletter. And join the conversation at facebook.com/frontlinesoffreedom.
We welcome your input to this show. Send your ideas and comments through our website, frontlinesoffreedom.com, or by Facebook. And now it's time for news and comments by the Colonel on Front Lines of Freedom. We'll start with the news. Take us there, Skip.
Well, Colonel, the office of Israeli Prime Minister Netanyahu says a deal to release the hostages has been agreed. I hope this includes all the American hostages. But there has been no letup in the war on the ground in Gaza, with Israel making strikes on 50 targets in Gaza since the deal's announcement. The first six-week phase would see 33 hostages, including women, children, and elderly people, exchanged for Palestinian prisoners in Israeli jails. Israel says 94 hostages are still being held by Hamas, 34 of whom are presumed dead. Israeli troops would also withdraw away from densely populated areas of Gaza. Negotiations for the second phase, which should see the remaining hostages released, a full Israeli troop withdrawal, and a return to sustainable calm, would start on the 16th day. The final stage would involve the return of any remaining hostages' bodies and the reconstruction of Gaza, something which could take years.
Since the Gaza citizens fully support Hamas and participated in the control of the hostages taken some 460 days ago, they are hardly innocent folks caught in a war. And Israel is releasing terrorist prisoners? Hey, these prisoners are not hostages. They're war prisoners. How about Israeli soldiers being held as prisoners? Do they get turned free? And does anyone think that Hamas Gaza will now stop attacking Israel and attacking innocent Israeli citizens? Final thought. Trump is president now. Israel will be free to deal with those who attack them however they wish. Stay tuned.
And the Institute for the Study of War reported that North Korean troops in Ukraine may cease to exist by mid-April. There are currently around 12,000 North Korean soldiers stationed in the Kursk region, losing nearly 100 personnel daily. Many of them are severely wounded, casting doubt on their ability to return to the front. At the beginning of January, President Zelensky reported that 3,800 North Korean soldiers have been killed or wounded on the Russian-Ukrainian front. 2 months earlier, Defense Minister Umarov mentioned their involvement in small skirmishes in the Kursk region. However, since December, these forces have been participating in more serious combat operations, resulting in losses of about 90 soldiers per day.
These are horrible losses. They speak highly of the Ukraine military's competence and make clear the absence of either good training or good leadership or both. And wait till you hear about the Russian military's status.
And Vladimir Putin has signed a decree on the conscription of citizens into the reserve, and the new law has immediately come into force. This is the first such step in 20 years, which may suggest preparations for a prolonged conflict with Western countries. The deputy chairman of the State Duma Defense Committee noted that it is necessary to prepare the entire male population of Russia for possible mobilization. In the conflict with Ukraine, the Russian armed forces, including paratroopers, Marines, and GRU special forces, have suffered significant losses. The three-day operation to capture Kiev has lasted for 3 years, and Russians suffer painful losses every day. Elite units had to withdraw for reformation, and their place was taken by units composed of prisoners and forcibly mobilized citizens. The Russian BBC service reports that Putin's troops lose skilled soldiers every day, which forces the president to make decisions that are not likely to be popular in Russia. Lieutenant General Viktor Sobolev emphasized that people over the age of 30 will be sent to training camps to gain the capability for military registration. Putin's new decree confirms these plans.
Well, it's pretty clear that Ukraine is doing something right in this war. They're beating the stuffing out of the militaries of two of the world's most hostile nations. Maybe we can get Iran and China into this war and Ukraine can defeat them all. What a good world that would be. Go Ukraine.
And Asif Rahman, 34, was arrested by the FBI in November, weeks after classified documents appeared on the Telegram messaging app. He entered guilty pleas in federal court in Virginia to two counts of willful retention and transmission of classified information related to the national defense, each of which carries a maximum sentence of 10 years in prison. Prosecutors say Rahman, a CIA employee since 2016, abused his access to top-secret information by printing out documents related to Israel so that he could take them home. He reproduced them and altered them as a way to cover his tracks, prosecutors say, then leaked top-secret documents to people not authorized to receive them. Two documents that surfaced on Telegram in October attributed to the National Geospatial Intelligence Agency and National Security Agency noted that Israel was still moving military assets in place to conduct a military strike in response to Iran's blistering ballistic missile attack on October 1st.
Gee, it's beginning to look like all of our nation's national police and security agencies need a lot of cleaning out. But our nation's government has been anti-Israel for years. This while saying nice things on the surface.
And Germany is taking aggressive steps to protect its military bases and critical infrastructure by granting its armed forces the authority to shoot down unidentified drones. The decision highlights a stark contrast with the Biden administration, which has declined to take similar action in response to drone activity over U.S. military sites. German Interior Minister Faeser introduced a proposal allowing the military to neutralize drones that pose a threat to lives or essential facilities. This move comes after repeated drone sightings near military installations, raising fears of espionage and sabotage. The proposal still needs parliamentary approval, but reflects Germany's growing concern over national security. Recent drone activity in Germany has been alarming. 10 drones were reported over Manching Air Base, and similar incidents occurred near Neuburg an der Donau and the U.S. Ramstein Air Base. German officials suspect these drones could be involved in surveillance or sabotage operations, especially given rising tensions with Russia. Our Department of Homeland Security, Secretary Mayorkas, labeled the idea dangerous. Polish Prime Minister Tusk confirmed that Russia has planned air terror attacks on airlines, reinforcing fears of sabotage. Western security officials also suspect Russia's GRU of orchestrating other attacks on infrastructure across the European Union.
I am betting we will abandon the Biden do-nothing approach and join Germany and Europe in taking no chances and defending ourselves. And that's the news. As Americans, it's our responsibility to ensure that our nation is well-run and on the right path. Politics and politicians are confusing. We can work together. Concerned Veterans for America can assist you, even if you're not a vet, and getting involved in getting our nation back on track. Working with them is one of the things I do. Check CVAFrontlines.com. That's CVAFrontlines.com. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. Coming up on Front Lines of Freedom, I'll share comments by the Colonel, and we'll enjoy some warrant wisdom. Then we'll talk energy with Steve Gorham. At East Troops, take a break. Suppose you were forced to defend yourself or your family. This can happen to anybody, so it's important to be prepared. You will likely face legal bills. Even if you're in the right in a self-defense situation, there will almost always be an investigation and you may find yourself in the legal system. U.S. Law Shield is here to help you through these events. Experienced U.S. Law Shield attorneys are ready to defend you 24/7, 365. To sign up, go to uslawshield.com and use promo code FRONTLINES.
This is Marine Vet Skip Coriel with your home defense tip of the week. According to the National Sexual Violence Resource Center, 80% of rape victims knew their attacker. Be careful who you let into your life. If they don't feel right to you, then don't associate with them. My experience has taught me this. When you let crazy people into your life gets crazy. This is just one more way to keep your family safe. For more useful tips on home and personal defense, visit homedefenseshow.com.
When considering precious metals investments, credibility is paramount. That's why I chose Universal Coin and Bullion. They have a long-standing reputation in the industry that instills confidence in investors. Plus, the company's president, Dr. Mike Fulgens, is recognized as America's gold expert by his peers and the U.S. government, and was named Dealer of the Year by the American Numismatic Association. Call 800-UCB-GOLD or go to their website at universalcoin.com/Denny.
Friends, Adam here, Patriot Foods, U.S. only company. Frozen fruits and vegetables straight from our dirt, not overseas. Support the U.S. farmer. When you shop at patriotfoods.com, we give back to a military family in need. We got to take care of each other, my friends. We have to. So important. 10% off patriotfoods.com. 10% off, promo code FREEDOM, and shop today.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum. It is 20 minutes after the hour, and your information and listen to the front lines of freedom all across America. Troops, even if our economy wasn't a mess, with inflation going crazy and prices up out of sight, I'd still recommend that you do some investing in precious metals, gold and silver. I encourage you to join me in purchasing these solid investments from Universal Coin and Bullion. Find them at universalcoin.com. That's universalcoin.com. Now it's time for comments by the Colonel. I'm glad we finally have a real leader running our Defense Department. Defense Secretary Pete Hegseth inherited a total mess. While we have good people at the more junior levels of our military, the only thing we're absolutely good at, thanks to our senior leaders, is using proper pronouns. Our nation is not prepared for a major war as threats of one grow because of new technologies, greater access to advanced weaponry for evil actors, and heightened geopolitical tensions. Security experts have called our current national defense strategy from 2022 outdated and say we are dangerously underprepared for a direct conflict involving strong nations such as China and Russia. The RAD National Defense Research Division underscored this point in a 2024 report stating current threats against us are, quote, the most serious and most threatening the nation has encountered since 1945 and include potential for near-term major war, end quote. The report also cites expanding partnerships between China, Russia, Iran, and North Korea as part of the reason why any conflict could escalate and drag us into a multi-theater or global war. Such a conflict isn't sufficiently accounted for in our military planning. Compounding this is the lack of preparedness of our military, noted by the Government Accountability Office, which stated that two decades of near-perpetual conflict have eroded the readiness of our armed forces. Last year, our Army's Training and Doctrine Command updated its 10-year outlook to reflect, quote, increasingly perilous challenges, end quote, to military readiness in large-scale combat operations. China is pushing to develop a, quote, highly modern military capable of defeating us regionally and eventually globally in a joint multi-domain war, end quote. In a 2024 report, the Center for Strategic and International Studies observed that China is investing in munitions and advanced warfare weaponry 5 to 6 times faster than we are. Beijing also has an estimated 230 times larger shipbuilding capacity. And there's escalating military tensions in the Indo-Pacific region, particularly with Taiwan and Korea. And the number of hostile forces already operating inside our nation is substantial. Anthony Maley, president of AMI Global Security, said, our attitude towards illegal immigration has created, quote, an enemy within, while giving criminal organizations and hostile nations a vast pool of sympathizers to recruit from. He said, quote, we have military-aged illegal immigrants living here. We put them in shelters, feed them, clothe them, and all they need now is for a van to pull up and deliver the weapons, end quote. He mentioned, look what 19 hijackers did on 9/11. What could 19,000 do? Milley also believes our foreign policy is in dire need of revisions to avoid a direct conflict with another nation, especially a nuclear one. This point was highlighted last November when President Biden authorized the use of long-range U.S. missiles in Ukraine that allowed shots fired directly into Russia's Kursk region. Putin's response to this was to revise the country's nuclear defense doctrine for faster access to nuclear weapons should NATO missiles be fired into Russia again. He called the Russian-Ukraine conflict a World War III tripwire. Quote, we have to learn to play better in the sandbox. Our foreign policy is the basis for most of the problems we have today, end quote, and amen. Some experts noted that non-state actors are increasingly able to access weaponry as sophisticated as nations possess. The expansion of criminal economics, such as radical terrorist groups and cartels into the traditional warfare space, is a huge problem, said Evan Ellis, a War College professor. Quote, the scary thing is, warfighting technology is really cheap for criminal groups with billions of dollars, end quote. The defining difference between criminal groups holding this technology and a hostile nation, such as Russia, is that countries have what he called skin in the game. This means that leaders with populations and economies to consider have a lot more to lose using nuclear weapons than do radicals. Ellis pointed out that terrorists have more to gain by scaring people through the use of nuclear technology and have, historically, demonstrated a lack of restraint in what they're willing to sacrifice to gain an objective. He compared greater access to nuclear weapons by larger numbers of evil actors to a perpetual coin flip. Quote, the odds that it's never going to happen keep getting lower and lower, end quote. Our nation is exactly where our former national and senior leaders want us to be. And to make an understatement, we're extremely vulnerable. Our military needs major upgrading, and our nation's broke. We have so much debt that we spend more paying on the interest to our national debt than we spend on our military. As Elon Musk showed us when he took over X, you can fire a whole lot of people and still be very functional. Secretary Hegseth has a heck of a job ahead of him. He has my full support and my prayers. And those are my comments for today. Americans owe our freedom to the sacrifice and courage of our heroes in uniform. Did you know you can support our military, veterans, and first responders just by using your phone? Patriot Mobile is America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. They put the cause ahead of profits, and that's why I'm a proud partner with them. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, which means you get the same coverage you've been accustomed to while giving back to our heroes. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support Folds of Honor, Tunnels to Towers, and more. Their 100% U.S.-based customer service team makes switching easy. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. Just go to patriotmobile.com/frontlines. That's patriotmobile.com/frontlines. And get a free month of service when you use the offer code FRONTLINES. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. You're listening to Frontlines of Freedom. Now we get to enjoy some warrant wisdom with Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. What do you have this week, Roland?
Well, Colonel, it's been an interesting first week under the new Trump administration. Shortly after Trump was inaugurated, he signed a number of executive orders to address increasing border security and eliminating DEI programs from federal agencies. Trump and several of his cabinet nominees have vowed to refocus the U.S. military on readiness and lethality in their operations and to do away with diversity, equality, and inclusion initiatives. About 5 hours later, Coast Guard Commandant Linda Fagan, who in 2022 became the first woman to lead a U.S. military branch, was fired from her position. Homeland Securities have said that Fagan was fired because she ineffectively deployed U.S. Coast Guard assets to support border security, did not meet recruiting and retention goals, mismanaged acquisitions, and lost trust with her force in the handling of the cover-up of the sexual assault scandal at the U.S. Coast Guard Academy. And lastly, for her, quote, excessive focus on diversity policies. Having said all of that, I believe the firing came down to only one thing, and that is the Diversity, Equality, and Inclusion, or DEI, program. First of all, the sexual assault scandal at the Academy happened well before her tenure, and frankly, she's done a lot to address those issues. On the recruiting and retention issue, the Coast Guard exceeded its 2024 recruiting target for the first time since 2017. And yes, the Coast Guard's had a long-term acquisition issue starting over 20 years ago with Deepwater, and there has certainly been some mismanagement of that program, but that was many years before Fagan was even close to being in leadership. And frankly, the biggest issue still comes down to Congress properly funding the Coast Guard. You know, under Fagan, the service purchased the first icebreaker in over 25 years to try to at least find a short-term solution to some of these issues. So we come back down to the DEI initiative and the Trump administration saying she is excessively focused on those programs, which of course comes back to the executive order Trump signed on his first day to terminate all diversity programs in federal government. You know, I think the president just wanted to make Fagan the example and put all the other military leaders on notice. For Frontlines of Freedom, I'm Chief Warrant Officer Roland Ashby. Back to you, Colonel.
Thanks, Roland. I always enjoy your comments. Straight ahead on Frontlines of Freedom, we'll talk with Steve Gorham about energy. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. You're standing tall with the Frontlines of Freedom. I'll be right back. Troops, it's time for sit-ups. Do 50 good ones, then stand at ease. It's time to switch to Patriot Mobile, America's only Christian conservative wireless provider. Patriot Mobile offers dependable nationwide coverage, giving you access to all three major networks. Keep your number, keep your phone, or upgrade. When you switch to Patriot Mobile, you support the First and Second Amendment, the sanctity of life, our military veterans, and first responder heroes. Just go to patriotmobile.com/frontlines. Get a free month when you use the offer code FRONTLINES.
This hour of Frontlines of Freedom is brought to you by HelpVet.net. HelpVet.net is an online resource and information center dedicated to the welfare of those who have sacrificed for the freedoms, ideals, and morals we Americans hold dear to our hearts. At HelpVet.net, find information on benefit-related issues from education, healthcare, military pay, retirement, VA loans, and resources on education, finance, legal, health and wellness, the military life, moving and housing, travel and entertainment, and much, much more. Visit HelpVet.net, HelpVet.net.
In business for over 30 years with over $1 billion in sales, Universal Coin and Bullion is my go-to source for gold and silver coins. And right now, they're offering our listeners a newly minted 0.99 fine 1 ounce 2024 silver American Eagle coin for just $27. Call 800-UCB-GOLD, 800-UCB-GOLD, or go to their website at universalcoin.com/Denny. Troops, welcome back to our nation's largest military veteran talk radio show, Frontlines of Freedom. I'm Colonel Denny Gillum. And troops, please do send your comments and questions to me. Email me through frontlinesoffreedom.com. It's an honor to welcome back to the show Steve Gorham. Steve is the executive director of the Client Science Coalition, but he's also a speaker and an author and a whole bunch of other things. And his long suit is energy. Glad you could join us, Steve. Thanks for being here.
Hey, Denny. Happy New Year. Great to join you again.
Hey. I know you're a former engineer and business executive, but what got you interested in energy?
Well, I was just out of work business executive back in 2008 and decided I could write books, started writing. I was looking for topics and I actually read all of Al Gore's books and decided that the evidence showed that climate is dominated by nature, not man-made emissions, and started writing books. And very shortly, I got into speaking professionally. And so I've written four books on climate and energy, sustainable development, public policy. And I also speak to groups mostly around the U.S. or in the Northern Hemisphere, utilities and transportation and metals and manufacturing, all sorts of different groups about energy policy. And I have a little bit of a skeptic point of view, if you will. Climate is dominated by nature, not humans. Despite what the Biden administration and many scientists are telling us. And I think over the long run, we're going to get back to what really makes sense for energy and pollution and public policy.
I sure hope so. And thank God we have a new president and he plans to put America first. So green energy and the upcoming climate change conference are liable to get very little support. That's how I read them. I presume you do too.
Yeah, I've actually said, I think the year 2025 may be the year that dooms green energy. It's not going to end it, but maybe the pendulum will start swinging back and we're going to get back to sensible energy policy. And right now the world is spending almost $2 trillion a year on wind, solar, and biofuels. But the amazing thing is this is not going to have a measurable effect on global temperatures or the climate, which is dominated by oceans and the solar system and many other factors. So we need to get back to what makes sense and get rid of real pollution, not carbon dioxide, which should not be called a pollutant.
Well, I'm not sure I could live very long without carbon dioxide being out there, could I?
No, we each exhale about 2 pounds a day, actually. And then, of course, carbon dioxide is plant food. And we've actually had, according to satellite data, we've had about an 11% increase in global foliage in the last 20 years or so. And most scientists that talk about CO2 say this is due to increased levels of atmospheric carbon dioxide. It's causing the plants to grow and to get bigger.
Well, darn. That means food and everything else is more available, right?
Yep.
Okay. Well, let's start with the net zero energy programs. They're getting rich off government funding, aren't they?
Well, it is amazing right now, and that's what my book, Green Breakdown, The Coming Renewable Energy Failure, is about. I talk about all of the policies to try and get to net zero, including power plants and home appliances, electric vehicles, heavy industry, heavy transportation. But we have the wealthy nations of the world, United States, Canada, Europe, Australia, New Zealand, and some others, that are trying to get rid of all carbon dioxide emissions from transportation and power plants and industry by 2050. But this is beyond a reach-out goal. This is an impossibility. It is not going to happen. It is going to break down. And we are seeing that in many, many ways right now. So we live in crazy and turbulent times. And with Mr. Trump's administration coming in, that's just one factor that is going to accelerate the breakdown.
Well, the problem, as I see it, is not only is it a waste of money, but we're moving our society towards failure. I mean, we're wasting resources. We're not building things that we do need. It's not just not positive, it's negative. Am I reading this right?
Well, it is in many ways. There are four big factors that are going to cause this this big shift in green energy. The first directly applies to what you're saying. We have a tremendous imbalance growing in the demand for electricity and the supply, driven by the artificial intelligence revolution and also green initiatives. Over the last two decades, we've had basically flat electricity consumption in the United States, about 4.2 million gigawatt hours. And during that time, we've closed more than 200 coal-fired power plants, which are very reliable, and we're trying to put in wind and solar. But now all around the country, we're running into electricity shortages. And it's just, and we could talk more about this. So let me mention the other three factors. The other is the electric vehicle slowdown, which hit big time in 2024. Rising wind, solar, and battery problems with all these systems they're putting in. And the fourth factor is the Trump administration coming in and reversing a lot of energy policies that were in place in the past.
Yes, sir. I'm delighted that Trump is doing that because, again, I haven't studied this like you have, but I've got an engineering background. And everything I've read that you said, heard you talk about, makes sense to me. And, you know, I don't see any real progress from all the wind power. And not that I have anything against wind power. I mean, you know, or solar power, that kind of stuff. I don't have anything against it, but I don't see it as dependable and in the volume we need things.
No, it isn't. And let's talk about that first. So, you know, they've closed all these coal plants. And during the last two decades, wind and solar have gone from about zero to about 14% of our electricity. But that's, at the same time, natural gas has been the big thing replacing coal. It's gone from about 15 to 44% of our electrical power. And we still get 59% from natural gas and from coal. And now all of a sudden, within the last 2 years, we've had a tremendous boom in this drive for artificial intelligence ever since ChatGPT came out. And now we have the big guys, Microsoft and Meta and Google and Apple and Amazon, that are spending huge amounts of money upgrading data centers to run artificial intelligence routines to get computers to think like humans. And it just requires a vast amount of power. Microsoft announced they're going to spend $80 billion this year on data centers to run artificial intelligence. Amazon just bought a data center right next to a nuclear plant in eastern Pennsylvania to get enough electricity for AI. We have plants that are now being reopened. The Palisades plant in Michigan, a nuclear plant that was closed 2 years ago, is now being reopened to get power. They're trying to reopen one of the Three Mile Island plants in West Pennsylvania. And they are extending coal plants that were due to shut down. All of this is to get more power. And wind and solar is really nowhere to be found. It's just not enough to be able to power this tremendous coming demand.
Yeah, I was going to say, what I've read is that AI is going to take 100% more power to feed it, to keep it alive, than we're using now.
Actually, the numbers are actually more than that. At the start of 2024, data centers took about 4% of U.S. electricity to run the internet and to do cloud storage. But within 10 years, and by the way, when you put in these high AI processor servers into the data centers, they use 6 to 10 times more power than they did to run the internet. And so within a decade, we're expecting that the AI demand in data centers to go up to 20% of U.S. power demand from 4%, just a vast, vast amount. And it's going to create a shortage, and everybody's electricity prices are going to go up, and it's going to stop the green movement in its tracks.
Yep, I don't know how it can not do that. There's more to discuss about energy, and Steve is going to stay with us. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Yeah, it's push-up time. I want you to do 103 push-ups. That's how many I do. Well, I used to do before I got into my mid-80s. Then take a break and stay in the area. Steve and I will be right back.
Veterans have a unique perspective on healthcare, foreign policy, and federal spending.
Concerned Veterans for America provides veterans and the military community a chance to share that perspective and drive change that will make Americans safer and more prosperous.
Want to join the movement and the thousands of activists in our grassroots army? Visit cvafrontlines.com to learn more and join the movement. That's cvafrontlines.com.
Friends, there's not too many things I enjoy more than helping veterans and eating great beef jerky. Now I can do both. My good friends at Tango3.org and America's Best Beef Jerky use the highest quality beef to make the best jerky I've ever tasted. Trust me, I've eaten a lot. But that's not all. They give 100% of the profit to vetted veterans programs, mental health and suicide prevention. Go to americasbestbeefjerky.com and order now. And at checkout, check the Frontlines of Freedom promo code. This is Colonel Denny Gillum. This is the final formation for this hour on Frontlines of Freedom. We're continuing our conversation with Steve Gorham about energy. You know, that stuff that we use a bunch of every day. So, Steve, as we were talking about, AI itself has and is going to continue to create a huge demand for energy, and that's just everywhere. Can we talk about the COP29 climate conference?
Yeah. COP29, that's what they call the Conference of the Parties. It was the 29th one of these. They've been doing these since about 1995. Happened in November. And they had, I think it was about 65,000 people that flew into Baku in Azerbaijan on the Caspian Sea. And they were all using commercial aircraft and a few of them using private planes. And it was probably the biggest carbon dioxide emitting event on planet Earth in 2024, very ironic. And they were flying into a place that is just covered with oil derricks, both on the land and in the sea. And as a matter of fact, the president of Ilhan Aliyev of Azerbaijan got up the first day and said oil and gas were a gift of God. And so there was a lot of dissension at the conference, but these conferences are put on every year by the United Nations to try and get all the nations to sign up to reduce carbon dioxide emissions. And they're really not doing very well. If you look at what happens globally, the world has spent over $5 trillion on renewables in the last 20 years. Yet we're still getting about 81% of our electricity from coal, oil, and natural gas, the same amount as we were getting in about 1995. So if we all live long enough, we're going to see a COP50. I hope not, but it's not really going to have much of an effect.
So you know, I am not a real fond supporter of the United Nations. And this is the kind of thing that makes me wonder. I think the United States is the largest financial supporter of the United Nations.
Yeah.
I think it might be time for us to back off a bit, because this is a good example of spending a lot of money doing the wrong thing.
There's a bunch of those that we support with a lot of money, like the World Court, I think, is another one who just said Israel's a terrible nation for what's going on in the Middle East. And there's a lot of things that we give money to that the UN is one of those that doesn't make much sense. By the way, if you look at history, people will say, well, how can all these people be wrong who say that the world is warming and humans are causing it? I would say we have an example of that already. Back in the late 1960s and all the way up to about 2010, we had the United Nations and all the major nations of the world that said we had a population crisis and that the world was going to be overpopulated and hundreds of millions of people were going to starve to death. And what do we have today? We have on six of the seven continents of the world, we have a birth rate that does not support population growth. Africa is the only place with a high enough birth rate to maintain the population. And all the major nations of the world are having falling population because people have adjusted to their situations and their families. But this is a case where the United Nations and every major leader, outspoken leader in the world was wrong. And we're seeing the same thing with climate now as we had with this overpopulation fear.
Yeah, this is something that just doesn't make sense, but it just keeps happening. And I don't know why we, the people of the United States, put up with it, but we do. And I wonder what, well, the problem is too many of us don't talk to our elected officials at all, ever, much less to hold them accountable for why are you letting this happen? I think that's the bottom line. But we have to do that. We have to get involved. Steve, there's so many other things. We got time for one more topic. Pick one that we haven't touched yet.
Okay, well, let's just talk a little bit about some of the problems with wind and solar. And they're just mounting and mounting as states try and deploy these. One of the problems is that wind and solar use 100 times the land to produce electricity of a traditional coal or gas or nuclear power plant. A study by Net Zero America, called Net Zero America, there was a study by Princeton University in 2020, pointed out that we would need 228,000 square miles of land if we were going to get to 50% wind and solar by 2050. And that's an area bigger than six states, Illinois, Indiana, Iowa, Kentucky, West Virginia, and Wisconsin. Just not going to happen. We have all sorts of problems with offshore risk. By the way, Mr. Trump has come in, offshore wind, I should say, high-risk offshore wind. Mr. Trump has come in and said he doesn't want to build any more wind turbines, and he's not going to subsidize them anymore. So that's going to be a big, big factor, cutting off the flow of funds to these renewables. We have batteries that are a big problem. We just had a big fire in California. Moss Landing storage facility near Monterey, the biggest battery backup facility in the world that's meant to back up wind and solar when the wind isn't blowing, the sun isn't shining. 40% of it just burned down last week. These lithium batteries caught fire. And by the way, I think I don't know if we've talked about it, but we have lithium battery fires all over the world in cars and e-bikes and in battery facilities. Just another thing that the green movement is pushing. So there's just a mounting group of things, and these things might start swinging the pendulum back and push us away from a green energy.
Yes, sir. And these are all, and somehow much of this doesn't make it into the news. That's an interesting point too.
Wow.
This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. We're talking energy with Steve Gorham. Steve, I know you've got, I think you mentioned four books. We got a couple of minutes now. Talk about a couple of your books right now and how people can buy them or get access to them.
Sure. They can go to my website, Steve Gorham, GOREHAM.com, and I'll send them signed copies. One of my book that is a favorite by many is called The Mad, Mad, Mad World of Climatism. It has three polar bears in a Mazda convertible on the cover. But it's really a great thing for your children and or your family members, high school, college age, and up, because they're getting a very one-sided story in university or in their high school. My latest book, Green Breakdown, The Coming Renewable Energy Failure, has been number one several times in the last year in the Amazon's energy policy category. And by the way, these are fun books, too. They're color paperbacks, and they have all kinds of crazy sidebars, which are real headlines out there, like the Southern California cosmetic surgeon who was taking tissue from his patients and turning it into fuel for his vehicles. He was actually prosecuted. You're not allowed to do that.
I'm glad to know that. I don't want to be somebody's fuel.
So they're fun reads, and they're also educational. They'll give them the complete story on climate and energy and public policy. And then, as you say, we need to go and talk to our political leaders. We need to push back and say things like, well, why do I have to build a wind turbine next to my farm here? Why are you forcing me to buy an electric car? I don't want an electric car. These will arm people with the reasons why these things really aren't good for families and businesses.
Steve, thank you. Thank you for joining us today. I really appreciate your comments. Tell us one more time, how can listeners plug into you, stay up to date with you?
Yeah, stevegoreham.com, GOREHAM. They can also get my books on Amazon. There are ebooks available as well. And thanks, Denny. Keep up your great work.
Thank you, Steve. I'm delighted that you could join us today. I hope you'll be back on joining us later. We need to be fighting this fight for our military, for our whole country. Thank you, bro. This concludes the first hour of the show. We'll start the second hour discussing Israel with Colonel Steve Kenyon. Then Gold Star dad George Luss will present Honor and Remember, and we'll review the movie of the month. Of course, we'll conclude with our weekly mailbag, military history, and our self-defense report. U.S. Law Shield is a part of the Frontlines of Freedom team. If you have weapons for defense of your family and yourself, and you ever need to use a legal weapon, you need legal defense. U.S. Law Shield is the team my wife and I use. Go to uslawshield.com. Use the promo code Frontlines. This is Colonel Denny Gillum on Frontlines of Freedom. Troops, it's time for pull-ups. Do 40 good ones, maybe 20 more push-ups. Then grab some protein, rehydrate with water, and finally, put a big smile on your proud-to-be-an-American face and send me your thoughts by email or on Facebook.